Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing this evening?
Very good.
Good to be back here with you again.
Always good to be here on Sunday night, and especially in this season of Advent, as we're approaching commemoration of the birth of the Messiah.
Yeah.
And I know you all are used to calling it Christmas or the Nativity, but I like to, like, mix up the terms. Either way, it's the birth of the Messiah. And kind of interesting that since all of the Scripture points to Yeshua, Jesus, and since all the prefigurements and types and shadows and prophecies point to him, the fact that he actually is born into history is a pretty exciting thing.
Yeah.
And it's pretty mind-boggling.
It is, given the fact that he's part of creation.
Yes. And, you know, as we go on maybe into next year, we can talk again about how, even though he didn't have to, he subjected himself to the covenant that he had made with his people.
Yeah.
And he could have said, well, you know, I'm the Messiah, I'm the God-man, I really don't have to do that.
Yeah.
No, he did all that. And it's mind-boggling. And, you know, as it said, and I think Stephen is
I took your Torah class.
To quote from, he took my Torah class, I think about seven times.
I know this stuff.
Seven times.
Yeah. How long have we been doing this show?
He did really well on the final, as I recall. At least six out of the seven times.
Oh, that first time I didn't have the crib notes. Oh, no, I mean.
And it's kind of funny because I've done the Torah class all over the place, and I always joke about, you know, when you take the final exam, and you may remember, Steve, to the group that we had in Brecksville, where somebody there kept saying, I'm just auditing the class. I don't take the exams.
I know.
But anyway, he did take the Torah class and did very well, so he knows all about that stuff. But the fact that he likes to quote, and I think we have it on our website, it's actually from the book of Galatians, that Jesus was born of a woman, born under the law. And, of course, interestingly enough, since he has a physical body that had biology and heredity, he had to be born into the world. And he had to physically be related to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, down to David, and then down from there. He didn't have a body that he just materialized, didn't come to earth as a 30-year-old man with a body that he just kind of created. He had, in fact, a real body with real heredity, and he was, in fact, born from the Virgin Mary, actually developed in her womb just like any other baby develops, and was actually born just like every other baby is born. And this, in my mind anyway, makes it even more exciting that God would take such such a close relationship with humanity that he would come as a human, as human nature. And so today, since we're in this Advent season and we're talking about this, we're going to talk about a prophecy that then goes into what's commonly called the Annunciation, where the angel Gabriel tells a very young Virgin Mary, who may have been 14, 15 years old. Mm-hmm. She certainly wasn't 30. So some pretty unbelievable news.
Yeah. Yeah. As you're doing the opening, and you mentioned what's on the website from Galatians, it's actually from chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And it reads, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to ransom those under the law, so that we might receive adoption As proof that you are children, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Mm. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God.
Mm.
And, you know, that really sums up
mm-hmm.
what Jesus has done for us
mm-hmm.
and how God did it.
Yes.
You know, as you're saying, Jesus was subjected to the law. He is the law. Mm-hmm. You know, He's the Word, mm-hmm. the Word made flesh, and He dwelt among us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, you know, when we talk about it this time of the year in the Advent season, not just this time of the year, but, you know, throughout the year as we read and teach God's Word, it's always amazing to me sometimes about just how God did things. How He came as a man, mm-hmm. you know, how he came as a human being
mm-hmm.
to subject Himself to the law that He made.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, He didn't like lord it over us and go, I mean, you know, He followed the law to fulfill it.
Yes.
You know, He said, I didn't come to abolish it, but I came to fulfill it. But the prophecies that lead up to the birth of Messiah are also amazing in the sense that most of them were, what, 700-800 years before
yeah.
Messiah.
Well, this one we're going to talk about in a minute is from about 700 years before Messiah.
Mm-hmm. And there's this great anticipation of His birth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you know, it's a center point, and of course the cross is the center point, but
mm-hmm.
His life in general, although it was pretty short by our standards,
right.
was the
right.
central part of human history, the center of salvation history,
mm-hmm.
and the whole focal point of the scripture.
Right.
You know, starting in Genesis, ending with Revelation. And there is no other, this is a plan of salvation that no one could have devised and no one could have ever imagined would happen.
Right.
And we, looking back on it from our perspective, of course, we're going to talk about Mary in a minute. When Mary's talking to the angel Gabriel, she has no way to really know what's going to happen. What does this mean?
Right.
You know, what's going to happen after this baby's born? What's going to happen when he's an adult? What do you mean he's the Son of the Most High? You know, I don't really get any of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You know, I'll submit to His will, but I don't. You know, there's no way she could have understood that.
You mean she didn't sign a contract? And
no.
She didn't look it over with her attorneys and stuff
no.
like that?
No.
None of that happened?
She was probably a 14 or 15-year-old girl. And
well, the reason I say that is because a lot of times in our society today, we want to know everything that God's going to
yes.
do beforehand.
Yeah, that's right.
And then if I'm comfortable with it,
yeah.
then I'll step out and follow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not faith.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, people in our time, you know, they do that with marriage. Well, we'll get married, but here's the deal.
Yeah.
You have to do that. I'm going to do this. If I don't like this, I'm going to, well, you know, I may leave if you do that. But.
Anyway. Oh, the stipulations we put on things.
Yeah.
No, but, you know, Mary receiving that word from the angel Gabriel, she had no idea what was before her.
Yeah.
Nor did Joseph.
Right.
Nor
did she know what had happened to Zachariah.
No, she didn't. She didn't know that. He couldn't even talk. He was like,
When she said to Zechariah that the angel Gabriel had come to talk to her, his eyes probably got really big, but he couldn't say anything.
I wanted to tell you, I know, but I couldn't say anything. He made me mute. You know, as the birth of Messiah unfolds, as the advent, you know, the proclamation of His coming unfolds, there are, you know, a lot of things in Scripture that it's happening in real time, and we have the luxury of looking at it
yes.
from 2,000 years
yes.
in the, you know, ahead, you know, in the future. Yeah. And so we can go back and think, oh, yeah, I could see that,
mm-hmm.
you know, but realistically, when things are happening in our lives, we don't always see everything as clearly as once some time passes.
Yeah.
And then we can see things a little more clearly.
And we should be even more excited about this because we have the whole perspective of the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we should look back through the Old Testament plus this account plus to see what happens during his life and how we're saved by what he did on the cross. And we should be walking around all the time going, wow, this is awesome.
We should really be, you know, waiting in joyful hope for his return.
Right.
We really should be.
But let's set this up by just quickly. I don't want to spend like a whole show on this, although we could. Isaiah chapter 7. If you want to read verses 10 through 14, let's take it from there.
Isaiah chapter 7.
He's got 66 chapters, so.
I know. I'm trying to get to 7. It's a lot. Isaiah 7. What did you say?
10 to 14.
10 to 14. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask for a sign from the Lord, your God. Let it be deep as Sheol, or high as the sky. But Ahaz answered, I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord. Then he said, listen, house of David, is it not enough that you weary human beings? Must you also weary my God? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The young woman, pregnant and about to bear a son, shall name him Emmanuel. Curds and honey he will eat, so that he may learn to reject evil and choose good. For before the child learns to reject evil and choose good, the land of those two kings whom you dread shall be deserted.
So God says, you want to ask for a sign? I'm going to give you a sign. It can be a sign from the depths or from the heights, but I'm going to give you a sign. A virgin's going to conceive and bear a son, and I'm going to call him Emmanuel. It says the Lord himself, this is God talking through Isaiah, the Lord himself will give you a sign. So a virgin's going to conceive and bear a son and name him Emmanuel. Mm-hmm. Now, Emmanuel means God with us. Remember, the E-L is the important part of all of these names. And that's the name of God. That's the name for God. That's the word of God, the word for God. So Emmanuel means God is with us. Interestingly, you know, in first chapter of John's gospel, it says the word became flesh and dwelt among us, pitched his tent with us, tabernacled with us. So Emmanuel is God living with us. I mean, this is a sign only God could give. Isaiah couldn't say, you know what? Someday a virgin is going to be with child and she's going to bear a son and he's going to be God with us.
Right.
I mean, that wouldn't make any sense even to Isaiah, who's my favorite major prophet. This wouldn't make any sense to any of those guys.
No, it wouldn't.
So this is a word that only God could bring, because he always tells ahead of time. It's also in the book of Isaiah, although I don't have the reference with me, but God tells Isaiah, I don't do anything without telling you about it first. In other words, the Bible is a holy book that has prophecy in it. God tells ahead of time what he's going to do. And even how he's going to do it most of the time. He doesn't have to do that. He's not obligated to tell us what he's going to do, but he does. And he does this, I think, so that we know that his promises are true, that he's not going to change, that he's not going to change his mind. And then when the promise he makes or the prophecy that he gives comes true, then he's confirmed. His word is confirmed because he knows how we think. He knows that we require, you know, proofs of things. We want to have wisdom of things. We want to be able to say, oh yeah, you know, since he told me he was going to do that and then he did that, now I believe it. And so he tells ahead of time what he's going to do. And, you know, Ahaz is this, you know, sort of evil king. We're not going to get into all that because I want to get into Luke. But, you know, he's not really trusting. He's wearying God. God says, don't weary me with your stuff. And interestingly, God, the prophecy from God says to hear a house of David, because we know that Messiah is going to be born from David. That comes from the covenant that's in 2 Samuel. I think it's chapter 7. Where God tells David, from you, and that's through the prophet Nathan, from you, from your loins is going to come the one that's going to shepherd Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why one of the great messianic titles is Son of David, So God says that, you know, listen, house of David, you know, the Messiah is going to be born from you. This is the plan that's going to go ahead. This plan's not going to change. And there's going to be such an unbelievable sign that the virgin is going to conceive and bear a son. And this virgin is actually going to be descended from King David. Her husband, Joseph, who is, of course, not the father of Jesus, but is the husband of Mary, he is also descended from King David. So this is an unbelievable sign that only the Lord could give, where this couple, both descended from David, the woman would conceive Messiah while a virgin, and it would be the most unbelievable sign that only the Lord could give.
Yeah, yeah. Were you referring to Isaiah 48, where he says, I declared them to you of old before they took place,
yes.
I informed you,
yes.
that you might not say,
yes.
my idol. Okay, yes, from Isaiah 48. So that really the person wouldn't give, they wouldn't say, oh, this molten image commanded these things.
Yes,
God would receive the glory for it. Yeah.
Yeah. We wouldn't want to give credit to the golden calf or anything.
No.
So, you know, it's such an unbelievable sign. And the other thing, as you're just mentioning, Steve, with this, you know, there's going to be prophecy, is that our feelings and our emotions and things like that don't really matter. There's a plan. So God says, here's going to be the plan.
Right.
If you don't want to believe it now, that's okay. But when the plan is fulfilled, then you're going to say, wow, now I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not about us on so many levels, as I like to say. But
yeah.
It's really quite, you know, it shows divine authority.
Mm-hmm.
It shows where the plan's coming from.
Yeah.
God never, you know, we talked, well, not on the radio, but I think at One in Messiah and, of course, during all the Torah classes, we talk about how God doesn't negotiate with Moses. He doesn't say, well, Moses, I was thinking about this law, and what do you think about this? Or do you think you could, you know, yeah, do you want to get some people together and maybe, you know,
form a committee
and discuss this and then, you know, get back to me. I mean, if people like it, we'll do it. I mean, if they don't like it, you know, we don't have to do it. No, he gives them the law. And, you know, the book of Exodus starts out like a king talks to his servants. You know, the law is just given. And this is the divine authority.
Yeah.
And we know that, as we're going to see when we do get to the Annunciation in a minute, we know that the Messiah can't have a human father.
Mm, right.
That goes back to Genesis 3:15. You're going to need that one for your homework. Oh, that's already a prank. Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Has come to bring light into the darkness. He has come to bring freedom to the captives. He has come to restore the brokenhearted. It's time to proclaim the year of the Lord. Prepare the way.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That's an awesome song.
Oh, it's totally awesome.
Who is that? Is that Paul Wilbur?
It is.
That.
Oh. WilburMinistries.com. Buy stuff. His newest CDs. Wearing his weird hat. I don't get it, but I didn't have a chance to talk to him about it. I'll see him next month. But anyway, so Emmanuel, God with us, we talked about John 1, you know, how he is the God-man who comes and lives with us, a real human being. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, it says he's not ashamed to call us brethren, because we're actually his brethren in the flesh, which is amazing,
mm-hmm.
because his human nature is descended from Adam, and we're descended from Adam.
Exactly.
And so we're brethren. And he's the true son, the only begotten son. We're adopted sons and daughters, mm-hmm. as Paul tells us in Romans, which is my second favorite book. And then in Colossians, which is probably in my top five, you know, Paul says the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. So here was this human body. As far as you could see, it looked like a human body.
Right.
But he had the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in him.
Yeah.
And this is all this unbelievable prophecy about how the virgin will conceive and bear a son.
Yeah.
And it's the most unbelievable plan, because no one would think of a plan like that. If you would have gone back and asked Abraham or Moses or even Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
What do you guys think, you know, Messiah is going to be? I mean, to actually figure this, nobody would even comprehend such a thing.
Yeah.
And it's hard for us to even comprehend it looking back on it. And this is why it makes me, frankly, kind of annoyed to see all of this, you know, Christmas hysteria where people are more worried about, you know, Santas and elves and reindeer and snowman. There's nothing wrong with those things. Don't send me any email. But you know, how many people sit around and think of this unbelievable event where the second person of the Trinity takes on human flesh in an incarnation in a way that every other baby is formed.
Yeah.
This is what we should be celebrating.
Yeah.
The snowman and the Santa and the elves, I mean, that's cute for the kids. But the adults should be thinking about this.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think about that, Jesus was in the womb of Mary for 9 months, developed as any other child would, as any other human being would develop in a natural pregnancy.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, it is. It's amazing that as Mary is overshadowed with the Holy Spirit, and I don't want to get ahead of the show.
Oh, you're going to read that in a second.
That Jesus develops within her womb, and he's delivered like he's delivered as a baby, as any other human being would deliver a baby. You know, and if you think about it, like Uzzah, he touched the ark. Mm-hmm. He was trying to steady at it, and God, you know, he died.
Yeah.
The high priest knew that, you know, if they didn't offer the sacrifice the right way, they could be struck down in the temple.
Yeah.
And then, so here you have this angel coming to Mary and saying, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you, and I don't want to get ahead of the story again, but it's amazing that now God is going to dwell not just with us, but in a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
For 9 months.
Exactly.
You know, the debate in our modern culture is, when does life start?
Mm-hmm.
When is it really happening?
Yeah.
Well,
this gives us a pretty good idea.
Yeah. You know, we have scientific names for it, but the reality is it's all living. They're all living cells. None of those cells are dead.
Mm-hmm.
If they were dead cells, nothing could come of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they are living.
Yeah.
So it's quite amazing how God's plan to redeem all of mankind comes about.
Yeah. And the involvement that humanity has in it.
Yeah.
I mean, Mary obviously is very involved.
Yeah.
but the idea that the Savior, the Redeemer is the God man is pretty mind boggling. This is why, you know, it says the angels marvel at our redemption.
And he's a helpless baby that needs to be taken care of by his mother and father for survival.
Right. That's right.
I mean, it's amazing.
You know, when we talk about the cross and we talk about how the Creator becomes the sin bearer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here the Creator becomes a helpless baby.
Yeah.
Fullness of the Godhead's in the helpless baby.
Yeah.
But Mary has to feed him, change his diaper, put him to sleep, cover him up with a blanket. It's pretty mind-boggling.
It really is. It really is.
So let's get to Mary.
Okay.
Luke, at the beginning of Luke's gospel, he talks about how he's, you know, trying to write an orderly account of everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he was a physician, so he probably went around and interviewed people and took notes. So I think it would be pretty, he didn't have electronic medical records or anything. He just like wrote everything down, but, didn't have to worry about Obamacare. But, I think that it inevitable. I mean, you can't help but think he would have had to sit down with Mary at some point and interview her and talk to her.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's the only one who has these narratives.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one that has the infancy, and he's the only one that has the Annunciation. He's the only one that has the John the Baptist being, well, actually before he's conceived.
Yeah.
So he got some good side information, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote this down, and the first couple chapters of Luke are pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't we go to Luke chapter 1? I think it's 26 to 38.
Too bad we don't have to read what happened to Zechariah. But anyway.
Oh, maybe we'll do that next week. I want to do a John the Baptist day.
But anyway. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. But Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I have no relations with the man? And the angel said to her in reply, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God. Mary said, Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her.
Ooh. Pretty neat.
Wow. So how would you like to have that visitation?
You notice, and this is another example of whenever a human encounters an angel, there's some element of fear that the angel has to say, don't be afraid. And, yeah, I mean, everybody kind of, you get the idea that everybody who encounters an angel kind of goes, wah! And, you know, they're not these chubby little things with wings that you see in pictures. They're pretty impressive.
Pretty impressive, yeah.
Actually, I have a good friend of mine who comes to my Sheffield group. Was in the hospital one time and was very, very ill. And she had this vision. She was praying and there were people praying for her. And she had this vision of this angel who came into the room and told her that she was going to be healed and she was going to be okay. And she was overwhelmed by the appearance of this being, how big he was and glowing and powerful. And it wasn't like a chubby little thing with wings like you see on cards.
That reminds me of a, there was a church down in Texas, and Sandy and I went on a retreat, and the one gentleman said, what did they do to the those four statues of the angels that were here at the front of the church? And the person goes, we never had any statues of any angels in front of the church. He goes, well, yeah, the last time we were here, there was these huge statues of these four angels that were right in front of the church. They were like, no.
Sometimes we entertain angels unaware.
Unaware.
So this was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, and Elizabeth was old. I mean, she was old. Same angel, Gabriel. You know, he told Zechariah, I'm Gabriel who stands in the presence of God. You better listen to me.
Zechariah said, I don't believe you. All right, well, you're not going to
talk for a while. And here's this young woman, and you know, teenage years were much different then than they are now. Yes. Now we kind of prolong childhood, you know, into the mid-20s now, which is ridiculous too. But anyway, she's probably, I mean, she's thought to be, you know, 14, 15 years old.
Right.
Which is at the time you were betrothed. And a betrothal was not quite a marriage, but it wasn't like we're dating. It was a serious,
a little bit more serious
commitment.
Than that. Yeah.
It was more than an engagement.
Yeah.
It was like a marriage, except you didn't live together.
Right.
And her name, of course, was Miriam, because we like to know what people's Hebrew names were.
Yes.
Her name was Miriam. And it says she's from the house of David. So again, the roots are in the house of David.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel says she's favored above all the others. Favored above all the other women. I mean, no other woman is ever going to have this. No other woman is ever going to be the mother of the Messiah. No other woman is ever going to have a son conceived by supernatural means. This is the unique mother in human history to be the mother of the Messiah. And the fact that he mentions the house of David keeps that genealogy consistent and shows how important it is, you know, from the tribe of Judah, of course. And she's betrothed, but not married, but she's betrothed to Joseph, who's also from the house of David. So Joseph, as we know, and even people from, well, I shouldn't say everybody knows that, because some people from some of these more whacked out beliefs, you know, say Joseph is the father or whatever, but we know Joseph is not his father because there was no human father. This goes back to Genesis 3:15. We're not going to rehash that because Adam, the Adam nature doesn't come in to Jesus. Then, you know, our Adam nature comes through our father. Even though Eve also sinned, Adam's nature comes through the father.
Right.
And he did not have this.
Right.
And it's in a place, Nazareth in Galilee, it says. It's not an important place. There's no centers of education there. There's no kind of important universities there. There's no importance of any kind in Galilee. In fact, it was commonly called the Galilee of the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another prophecy in Isaiah we're not going to get to this year, but about light coming, you know, in the darkness, but people who walked in darkness see a great light. It's called the Galilee of the Gentiles. So she's in this low estate. You know, they're poor people. Mm-hmm. They're living in this sort of backwoods place. Nothing ever really happens there. Prophets don't come from there. You know, there's no anything there other than agricultural living and simple people. And later on, you know, we see how the Pharisees are always putting this in their faces. Well, you guys are from Galilee. You know, do you know any prophets have come from Galilee? So, you know, that. So, but even though she's in this estate, you know, she's the highly favored one.
Yeah.
She's the one who's been chosen. She's the one who's been prepared that Gabriel says the Lord is with you. Now, this is more than just, you know, the Lord really loves you and he's kind of like walking with you. The Lord's with you in such an intimate way that you're going to conceive and bear this son.
Yeah.
Which is completely mind-boggling.
Well, his announcement or proclamation to her, if you will, and I'm going to go back to what Gabriel says to Zechariah a few sentences before this. I am Gabriel who stand before God. I was sent to speak to you and to announce to you this good news. The angel doesn't come on his own terms or own accord to just like talk with people.
Yeah.
They're messengers.
Right.
They're sent by God for a specific purpose, a specific reason, and with specific instructions or a specific message.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't Gabriel speaking. You know, Gabriel is speaking to her, but the message that he is delivering is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Hail, favored one. You know, this is really God saying this through Gabriel. Hail, favored one. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's astounding.
Yes.
You know.
And it's favored one in the sense of Gabriel doesn't go to 10 different women and say, well, you might be one of the favored ones. Do you want to do this? What do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, no, she doesn't want to do it. She doesn't want to do it. Okay, let's see if Mary over there wants to do it. Mm-hmm. This is the woman who's been chosen for this.
Who wants to sign up for this?
Yeah. You know, she's been chosen for this.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. That's a good point that the angel's a messenger.
Right.
Gabriel's not saying, you know what, you're going to have this son, and, you know, I kind of ran this by God. He's okay with it, too, but, you know, I think it'd be a good idea if you have this son and, you know, you name him Yeshua, because I really like that name. I think it's a pretty cool name. There's not a lot of men named Yeshua, and we got a lot of Levi's and Ebenezer's and stuff, but I think you should name this baby Yeshua because it's such a cool name. No, Gabriel's nothing to do with this. It's not about Gabriel. He's the messenger. And this young girl who's of very low estate, who's highly favored, and, you know, as he points out, anything is possible with God because, you know, your old cousin's also pregnant. You know, sometimes she's called a cousin, but she's some kind of kinswoman. We don't know exactly the relationship. And this young girl is confused by this because she doesn't understand the greeting. You know, it says that she doesn't understand what manner of greeting is this?
Yeah.
You know, she's like a 14 or 15 year old girl.
Yeah.
Who's being told she's highly favored and there's this big angel standing in front of her and she goes, I don't get, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, very human.
Very human.
And very human.
Yeah.
And she admits to Gabriel, and he doesn't strike her dumb, which is good. She admits to him that I need to know, like, what you're talking about. I don't get it.
Yeah, she says, how can this be since I have no relations with the man?
Yeah, she's confused by the whole greeting. Ooh. Oh, I like this one. Remember, check out GiftOfGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
You placed your hand over his face. In your presence, he wouldn't die. And all Israel saw your glory, and it shines down through the age. Now you've called us to boldly seek your face. Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. And then gird up my legs, I might stand in this holy place. Show me your face, Lord, your power and your grace. I will make it to the end. Could just see your face. David knew there was something more than the ark of your presence. In a manger, Messiah once born, amongst kings and some peasants. And all Israel saw the glory, and it shines down.
Show me your face.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So Mary, it says she's troubled, doesn't understand this greeting. And and Gabriel goes on to say about he's going to sit on the throne of David, his father, which again confirms 2 Samuel, I think it's chapter 7. And he's going to rule without end. You know, he's going to be the king of Israel. And not only is he going to be king of Israel, he's going to be king of spiritual Israel, which includes us. He's going to have the messianic kingdom. Like Paul says in Romans, you know, you're not necessarily true Israel just because you're descended from Abraham. We're part of spiritual Israel.
Yeah.
Because Abraham's our spiritual father.
Yeah.
And so he's going to sit on this throne of David. Now he's saying this to this young girl who's descended, probably not even educated.
Yeah.
Or not educated very much. So then she wants some more instruction. Like you just said, well, then how can this be? You know, she's not doubting what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Zechariah doubted what he was saying. Hey, look, if you think my wife's going to have a baby, you got to be kidding. She's old. So Gabriel got a little mad about that.
Just a bit.
Mary's not doubting what he's saying. She's asking for more information. Well, how can this be? I mean, she knew how babies were born. I mean, she knew how babies were made. So she wants to know, like, well, how can this be? I'm not with anybody. I'm betrothed.
Yeah.
But we haven't had relations. We don't, you know, there's not going to have relations at this point. So how can that be? She wants more information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this, the message that Gabriel gives her, you know, you're going to conceive in your womb and bear a son. You're going to name him Jesus. You're going to name him Yeshua. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, that is certainly, if Mary went to the temple, which she obviously did, she would have heard the prophecies from Isaiah.
Yes. Yes.
And this would have had, is, you know, did she put it together right away? I don't know. But she certainly knew what the throne of David was.
Yes.
So she knew what Gabriel was talking about.
Yes.
And that's why she says, how can this be? Because I have no relations with a man. So he does. He gives her, you know, Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child will be that will be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And then he confirms that, you know, Elizabeth is in her sixth month.
Yes.
She was once called barren. Nothing's impossible for God.
Yeah.
You know, Elizabeth was old. That's why Zechariah was like, no, this ain't going to happen. You must be mistaken. No, I'm not mistaken, and you're not going to talk anymore until he's born.
I don't know what you guys in heaven think about this, but down here, we know she's not going to have a baby. Well, you know, the book of Hebrews says Abraham and Sarah were as good as dead when they conceived Isaac.
Yeah, that's true.
That's pretty snotty. But, you know, so she gets this further instruction. She's going to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And the scripture doesn't tell us exactly how she reacted, except that she surrendered.
Yeah.
Except that she said, be it done to me according to your will.
I was just thinking about that.
Yes.
That's, you know,
the handmaid of the Lord.
Of all this.
Yeah.
Mary didn't ask for, you know, well, scripture doesn't say that she asked for any more information, but she said, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. According to your word.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Complete surrender.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an unbelievably complete surrender.
Yeah.
To a point where, like I said before, nobody else will ever have this happen to them.
Right.
Ever. So the idea that she's the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to your will, this is complete surrender in the sense that I'm going to trust your plan. I'm going to let you do the plan. I'm going to go along with the plan.
Not knowing what it fully entailed.
Yes. And, you know, not many of us would go along with a fraction of this.
In all honesty, a fraction.
I mean, you know, Joseph, of course, he thinks he's, you know, going to keep his carpenter trade going. He's going to marry this woman, and, mm-hmm. you know, they're going to have a little life together, and they're going to have, you know, three or four kids, and they're going to, you know, he's not, they're not thinking this.
No. Little does he know.
Yeah. But I think the surrender of it is what's important.
Well, it's, you know, every time God gives us an invitation, we have the opportunity to say yes or no, because he gives us free will.
Exactly.
The part, though, that we forget about is, though, that God does have a plan for us.
Yeah.
You know, he does have a specific plan and purpose for our life. And if we say no too many times, we impede God's will. We impede the will of God and his plan for our life. And we don't really become the person that God created us to be.
Wow. Show's over.
I know. Do you have more notes?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh,
we're not going to do that.
All right.
Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
Save them for next year. And we just pray that you would, too, allow God's will to be done in your life freely and with an open heart in the season of Advent, to prepare your heart and prepare a home for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.